In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the early Jesuit saints, Blessed Peter Faber, once had business at a certain monastery, so he rang the doorbell, and nothing happened. No one answered. He was left standing in the street. So he, as he did probably automatically, he said a prayer and then some more prayers for the poor souls in purgatory who, like himself, had to wait. After a while, he rang the doorbell again, and still nobody came. So then he prayed for all of the poor people who wait at the doors of the rich for an assignment or for food or for a favor, that God might give them the grace to bear their hard life with patience and so gain the joys of heaven. And he rang the doorbell again, and nobody came. Then he prayed for everyone in prison waiting to be released, that they might repent of their sins and escape the condemnation of God's judgment. And again, he rang the doorbell, and again, nobody came. And then he prayed even more fervently with the Good Shepherd, who is right now lovingly waiting for the return of the lost sheep. And when finally the brother porter came to answer the door, Blessed Peter greeted him with a big smile, and he did not in the least regret that he had been kept waiting so long. I've been waiting to tell you this story for a long time, and I love it. It could, of course, illustrate the inevitability of waiting, which is a great Advent theme in the sacred liturgy. We wait for Christmas, for Christ's three comings. And as we saw last Sunday, we wait, too, for redemption. A lot of our life is consumed in waiting, especially at this season of the year. Why, there is traffic, and then there are the long lines in stores or the post office. Consider the life of a soccer mom. We have at least a few in the congregation. She spends her entire time some days dropping off and picking up children and waiting for them. Everybody waits, though. The little child is eagerly waiting for Christmas. The old person alone, who's waiting for perhaps a son or a daughter to call or stop by. The sick patient in the hospital who's pressed that buzzer more than once and is waiting for a harried nurse to come to help. The whole of our life is consumed by waiting, but if only it were like that charcoal in the incense, that is to say that it could rise up to God with a pleasing perfume of worship. Patience is required. That's probably how you light the charcoal. But more than patience is required here. It is something our saint of the story, Blessed Peter Faber, showed in a wonderful degree. I'm speaking about imagination. I am convinced that the reason why so few Catholics in this church come to daily Mass or would come to an extra service or would manage, say, to change the routine at home for a family rosary, or any of those things, is not so much, it may play a part, but coldness or carelessness or sloth or that kind of a secular slouch through life that we adopt. There was an appalling boy in the church today. Yesterday I saw him, and he's imitating his dad, and his dad slouches like this. And so he slouches like that. And, of course, imitation and has a lot to do with it. And just doing what we've always been doing because we're in a rut. A lack of imagination. They would say today, the ability to think outside the box. How can I make this work? Instead of just patiently following the old routine because, well, I've always done it this way. Blessed Peter showed imagination, an almost childlike imagination. That used to be the specialty of the Jesuits. Believe it or not, although they were great educators and educated men, the spiritual system of Ignatius of Loyola, the spiritual exercises, he called them, were all around using your imagination for meditation. He calls it the composition of place. Okay, third joyful mystery, the cave. What did it look like? What did it smell like? The fresh straw St. Joseph put down, but then the animal odors, and then the noises of the animals. Who was there? What was St. Joseph doing? What was he thinking? The Blessed Mother. The shepherds, how do they look? What was their comportment as they came in with their gifts? You ask yourself those questions as you're doing a decade of the Rosary, and pretty soon it's over, and you have said the best decade, perhaps, of your life. Certainly no distractions. It's the use of the mind and the heart in order to move the soul and save the soul. My little story today about Blessed Peter standing in the street waiting for someone to open the door to him shows how patience comes, really, when it's united with prayer. Like smoke comes when the incense is united with the hot charcoal. What do we do usually? Tap a toe. Clutch the steering wheel. Grind, clench our teeth as we're held up in traffic, instead of, with a little imagination, lifting up our hearts, our minds, our thoughts to heaven. Now, in this, our children can teach us all a lesson. I just explained to you, and I'm quite serious about it, some of you need to start teaching your children some lessons instead of them running you. There comes a certain age when a child can learn to be disciplined, of course. It's ridiculous. But there also comes a certain age when we're growing up, when we lose one of the greatest gifts of childhood. And in this, I could put a little one at the pulpit, and he could teach us all a lesson about imagination. The imagination of a child. How a child can entertain himself for hours. He's perfectly happy, or with his playmates, and all sorts of fun, innocent games. They're using their God-given imagination. Why shouldn't we adults, why should we give that up? You hear a bark at night, some canine doing his dogly duty. He's got to bark at somebody. Couldn't that make us think of our conscience? It's a lonely job, the conscience. And then make us realize I should be listening to the Holy Ghost more. Or the lonely whistle, again, the lonely whistle of a train passing. Maybe you could associate that with the lonely call of a poor soul from purgatory who needs prayed for. Now, any of us, I imagine, would stop for at least 2 seconds to look at a beautiful sunrise or sunset. But would we associate it then to say a little prayer of praise or thanks with the rising, the coming of the sun of justice into our lives? And as we're admiring a child's imagination this Sunday, let us be careful to help them, to develop a truly Catholic imagination. That is to say, surround your children with holy pictures and statues and music and stories and books. Not too much in the way of films or videos, because a little bit goes a long way. It's a very powerful medium. But the Bible stories, the lives of our Blessed Lady and of the saints. And then suggest to children all the time, be a teacher always, parents, a little explanation. Oh, there's Jesus on the cross. Oh, there's Mary. Well, let's kiss Mary. She loves us so much. She's our mother. That sort of thing. And especially build up during the week the business about coming to church for the Mass. And let your children experience all of the sights and all of the sounds of the Holy Mass. There's no wonder if children in a crowded church have to sit where they can't see and they're not given a prayer book of any kind. It's no wonder that they wander around and go for frequent water breaks, or they crawl in fidget in the pew. You're killing the child's religious imagination. Don't do that. Another way to do that is this whole business of TV, when it's on in the home. Some people have it on all day. They have it on all night. It serves as a kind of a babysitter. Obviously, it feeds a Catholic, or feeds rather a covetous and an impure imagination. And that's just the commercials, much less the programs themselves. But I think there's a decreasing ratio there. The more of those, even films and videos, and the less play, and the less prayer, and the less reading there is, the more the imagination of a child dies out. And reading, speaking of reading, if all reading is for your children, it's a course in school that they have to pass, rather than a lock to open up the treasures of the mind and of the soul for this world and for the next, you will be killing your child's imagination. Our children must grow up to be readers. And parents, if you're not up to it, for God's sake, get some help so your children can be good readers. It's the key to everything today. You're not going to get too much from that box in your living room. Imagine. Do you ever imagine in some good, holy way and use your imagination in prayer to pray the best way possible? Should he delay, we sing today, should he delay, wait for him. And while we're waiting, remember, you can make him present right now by the use of your imagination. Is a terrible thing to waste. We shouldn't waste everything, anything at all in our lives. Put your waiting time together with a little Catholic imagination, and behold, he has already come. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.